time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, this is Lee Bockham. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast. Today is where we continue in our series of what thriving people do differently. This is really an instructional piece about how to shift your life into more thriving. And you may look at this and say, well, I'm already doing these pieces. And the question is, can you do more of this? And sometimes you may say, wow, that's something that I really need to change to. That's a place that I really need to make a shift. What you're going to notice is that each of these items, each thing, each strategy, each mindset of what thrivers do differently is going to grow. It's going to expand on each other. So last time we talked about the fact that a thought is just a thought, and that continues through this process. So our next thriving thing of what thrivers do differently, what thriving people do differently, is thrivers accept what is. Now, that's a kind of a simple statement. So let's talk some about what I mean by that. Thrivers accept what has happened to them and accept where they are in life as a starting point, not as a willingly defeated place, but a place of beginnings. We spend a lot of energy struggling against what is. We take all of our time to try to not have things that have happened to us and try to not have things that are happening to us now and try to not be where we are. So we end up playing some games. One game is the life's not fair game. And the life's not fair game is this belief that somehow you didn't get a fair shake, you didn't get a good start, you didn't get the resources that were coming your way. And we all play this game. You know, it's that place where we just imagine that life's done us wrong. And it ends up being kind of that country music song where you've been done wrong by love and by life and everything else. The fact is that we often get stuck in this plane that life is not fair. That game is a dominant place in our life. Life isn't fair. You know, I've heard it so many times that something will happen and someone say, this just isn't fair. And another person say, well, life isn't fair. And we get caught up in that as a game that keeps us stuck. Another game we play is that shouldn't have happened, as if life has some correct path of how it should flow, of how it is supposed to go, and that things somehow are off course, that we treat it as if kind of life is an experiment. You remember back in school in science, you do an experiment, and there was the control, and then there was the variable. And the control was where nothing wrong happened, nothing different happened, nothing was added, nothing was taken away. It's just the kind of the plane through life. And then there's the variable, which adds something either added or taken away from the control. And you see how that plays out. And we act as if our life has somehow become the variable instead of the control. The control is, you know, nothing happened, right? And we just get to flow through life. And instead, we believe that the control is not what we get. We get this variable where things keep getting added to our lives that we don't want, or things get taken away from our lives that we don't want. And then the process, we get this place of believing that shouldn't have happened, that there is some rightness or wrongness to how life should have progressed. And usually we see ourselves as being on the wrong end of that. Thrivers don't, though. Thrivers don't play that game. Another game we play is that shouldn't be happening, that somehow we're headed towards a direction we don't want to be headed, and it shouldn't be happening to us, that somehow we should be seeing something coming differently. Something is happening to us, and we want to get away from that, and it just shouldn't be happening. It's the unfair present that things are happening to you. So here's the truth. There's no such thing as a fair life. In fact, for the most part, if we're living and getting up and able to eat and have protection from ourselves and clothes to choose and a place to kind of exist, we're well ahead of the game in terms of what life should promise us. And so what I can guarantee is that if you're able to listen to this podcast, if you're able to read a book, if you're able to get on the internet, that you are actually well ahead of many people, that life is unfair, but it's tilted in your favor. So the problem is that when we have this life as fair, we have this feeling that somehow we should be able to define it, that maybe we have some idea of the opportunities that should be our way, or the health that we should have, or the family that we should be in or come from, or the luck that should have come our way, our fair distribution. And the place that we compare it are people who we feel like have more than us, have more opportunities or more health or better families or better luck. And in reality, we're looking at only pieces of that puzzle, not the bigger piece. And sometimes we get lost in that translation where we feel like, you know, if I compare this to that, I'm on the losing end, rather than, am I really comparing a whole story? First of all, and second, does that comparison help me at all? Does it move me forward at all? Or does it keep me wishing that I was somewhere else, wishing that something else had happened? So the first truth is there is no such thing as a fair life. And if we're really honest, the majority of us, if we're going to use that as a measure, are well into the fairness quotient, that we have gotten more than our fair share. Number two is what has happened. That's the next truth, that what has happened is what happened. You know, you can't go back and change those events in your past. And sometimes we really struggle with that. I watched that for many years with people coming to therapy who are asking the question, why did that have to happen? And part of what they were asking is there a way for that to have not happened? I also had the same experience when I was a chaplain at the hospital, and there would be an accident or something. I was sitting with a family and they would be asking, you know, chaplain, why did this happen? Well, now there was a little bit of a theology there that was going on, that they wanted to know theologically why this happened. But the bigger thing I realized they were wrestling with is wishing it had not happened, to finding some way, some thought process, some place that they could get to of waking up or realizing that it really hadn't happened. And that kept them stuck, you know, because instead of saying, okay, this is what has happened, now we've got to figure out what to do, they were constantly asking, why did this happen? And is there a way for it not to have happened? So truth number two is what has happened is what happened. Truth number three is very related to that, which is where we are is where we are. Whatever circumstances have gotten us to here is what's happened. That's the reality of what's going on. And whenever we fight that, we find ourselves stuck in a pattern of trying to get somewhere without being able to start with a starting point. And so where we are is where we are. That's a truth. And then we can begin to build on that. Again, the acceptance is not about self-defeat. The acceptance is about starting points, about saying, this is where I am. Now, how do I build from here? Early in my days in coaching and getting into the coaching profession, one of my mentors was Thomas Leonard. Thomas Leonard was considered to be kind of the father of life coaching. And he had a term for this. He said it's the present perfect. And he wasn't talking about grammar. He wasn't taking you back to English and talking about some tense in the language. But what he was talking about is the present as a perfect representation of what has led to this point. In other words, the present is a perfect representation of where you've been and what's happened to you and how life has brought you to here. And the importance of that is saying that the present is perfect as a representation of that. It's not that there's a perfection in the moment. There's not a perfection in what's happened to you, but there is a perfectness to the fact that you are where you are. I am perfectly here because of the choices I've made and the things that the events that have happened and all of the places around me that have kind of conspired for me to be right here. It's a perfect representation of that. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to ever see life as being perfect as much as saying it's a perfect representation of that. Now I have a place to move from. So there's some problems associated with working against this. When you can't accept where you are right now, there are a couple of problems. Number one, refusing to accept what has happened is kind of the tendency here. That's where we get stuck. We don't want to accept what has happened. And so when you refuse to accept what has happened, you're frozen in trying to reframe and somehow get rid of what happened. They can't become a fabric of life because you don't want it to have happened. And the problem is, it's happened. So problem number two is refusing to accept where you are, that where you are right now is where you are. And this doesn't mean that you have to have a defeatist, well, now, you know, I'm at the bottom, as much as to say, now I've got my starting point. Now I can look at this and be honest about it. You know, many times I've talked to people who were in over their heads in debt, and their bills were mounting, and they were paying the very minimum on their credit cards, and they were still unable to accept the fact that financially they were on the edge of ruin, that sometimes financially they were already upside down. And so the starting point of rebuilding was being able to take it all out and look at it and stare it down and say, okay, what's the real number? You know, where do we get to? And I want you to think of this as kind of a life metaphor of how we do anything. You know, if you got those bills coming in and the bill collectors are calling and you're still paying the minimum amount and you're every month you're trying to figure out how to do it, and yet you're pretending like you can go on like this, what would you do? The first thing is spread everything out on the table, calculate all of the debt, calculate all of the income, and look at the difference and say, okay, now what do I do? Now I've got this. But sometimes people don't want to do that about finances or anywhere else in life because they don't want to get to that place where they have to really stare it down. Or how about in relationships? Sometimes I have people who have been in denial that their relationship is falling apart. And one day something happens where they can no longer deny it's falling apart. They have to put it all on the table and look at it and accept the words of a spouse or a partner saying, this is not working. And the spouse or partner may have been saying that over and over and over, but they're refusing to see it until one day they finally say, okay, I've got to take a look at this. It's at that moment when they suddenly have a place to move from. As long as they're struggling to avoid where they are, they can't find a starting point to rebuild from there. Or maybe someone's in the ruins of a career, that the career, the company, whatever is falling apart around them, but they refuse to see that, so they don't know how to build from there. But the moment they set it out and say, okay, here is where I am, here's what happened, then they have a chance to begin to rebuild from there. The process of accepting what is gives us the starting point of where you want to get to. So problem number three is believing that accepting where you are and what happened is the same as giving up. It's not at all the same as giving up. It's about getting to a starting point. Giving up is saying, you know, the weight of this is so great that I can't do anything. Now, one of the core differences between thrivers and others is at some point they're able to set aside their give up response and decide to go with the get up response. To get up and move forward. Many times people don't want to look at what is because they recognize that their first response is to give up. But sometimes you can recognize that accepting what is gives you the get up place, the platform from which you build back. So number four, the problem number four is refusing to look for lessons and growth embedded in what has happened. If you pretend that something has not happened, or if you pretend that you're not where you are, you can never look at the lessons that are represented in that. And part of thriving is looking for the lessons, looking for the places of growth, the potentials for that. And when we finally accept where we are, we begin to step towards learning the lesson. Until we accept where we are, until we accept what has happened, we can't take in the lessons because we have to refuse that there's anything there, that anything's happened, that we're where we are, and that the lesson is there at all. I remember some very painful lessons when I was working on building a business that completely collapsed. And one of the things that I realized was while I was trying to keep it afloat, I was pumping money into it and it was still going down. While I was keeping it afloat, I couldn't learn anything from it. When I finally said, I can't keep doing this, I have to make a change, suddenly I learned a lot of lessons about that. I learned about how I would want to do another business and how I needed to be clear about my core values and how I needed to be clear about the finances and how I needed to be clear about how we move forward. And so in the midst of that collapse, as long as I was unwilling to accept where that business was and the collapse that was coming, I was unable to see the potential growth that was there for me and the potential learning elements. Many times over the years, I've talked to successful people who have had major failures in their past. And my question was, why do you think that failed? And almost invariably, the ones who are the thrivers will say, because I wasn't ready for the success. I didn't know the lessons that would get me there. I wasn't ready to deal with the reality, and I couldn't face what was really going on there. Which brings us to problem number 5. When we refuse to accept what is, we refuse to accept responsibility for where you go from here. And in another of these elements of what thrivers do differently, we're going to talk about that responsibility. But right now, just notice that whenever you're unable to accept what has happened and where you are, you're also unable to accept responsibility for how to go the next step, how to get to the next place. So what do you do? There are some things to do if you're trying to change this and move towards a more thriving element, to embrace this idea of accepting what is, and accepting what can happen from here once you accept that. Number one is to accept what has happened, to really face it, to really step back and say, what's happened to me? And what pieces do I refuse to acknowledge? Where are you? No more, I wish that hadn't happened, or I wish I was somewhere else. If you find yourself going through that process, I wish that hadn't have happened, or I wish I was somewhere else, recognize you're struggling to accept where you are. To be able to say, here's where I am. This is what's going on right now. This is where I arrive. This is where I start from is very important. So acceptance, just stepping back and making the mental choice of saying, I accept what has happened and I accept where I am and I'm going to face it down. Which leads us to step number 2. And this is the thriving moment to decide, here's what happened and here's where I am. What must I do in order to get to where I want to be? You'll notice that there is a huge difference between wishing and hoping. Wishing is treating it as if it had never happened. I wish that had never happened. I wish I wasn't here. I wish I wasn't stuck. I wish my business hadn't collapsed. I wish my spouse wasn't upset with me. I wish. It's trying to get rid of something versus I hope. My hope is that I can now move from where I've been stuck to a new place. And as I move into my hope, I can focus on a new place to be. But it's based on where I am now, not based on wishing I wasn't here now. And that's the big shift. Thrivers are able to say, here's where I am. And to also accept that here's where I am, and that's okay as a starting point. It's also possible to say, here's where I am, poor lowly me, life has been unfair, this just isn't going to work. But notice that we get back into playing those games. The thriving person steps up and says, here's where I am, now I'm ready to move forward. Here's where I am, I've stared it in the face, I've learned the lessons, I've looked around, I know what's happened to me, I know what needs to happen, and now I'm going to move forward. And that begins to free us up for the next areas of how thriving people do things differently. So I hope you'll come back and keep listening to the different elements of how you can thrive more simply by learning about what thriving people do differently. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving life.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled Thriveology. It's your life. Time to live it.